I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cut this bit in at the beginning.
It's Thursday, which means it's time for the Front 3 Q&A podcast. The gang is all here. Well, Chris will be joining us soon enough anyway. I'm Adam Boltwood, alongside Lawrence McKenna.
Good to have you back, Adam.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah,
it's nice. Been a week and a bit, maybe. But it's good to be
back. Don't worry, while you're away, come on,
Boltwood, a bit more effort, mate, from you.
What do you mean, mate? I've been working.
Come on, mate.
A Trojan horse out in the United States with hashtag United. You know, they're a team. They're a thing.
Adam, how can you work like a Trojan horse?
I don't know. That's a thing, isn't it?
I think you just work like a Trojan. I think if you work,
I like
a
to
Trojan
add the horse in there.
You have lots of men inside you.
It's more. Moving swiftly on, Dave. You're here as well.
Wow.
It's wonderful to speak to you and hear you once again.
Yeah, I think I'm slowly cracking conversation with myself today, pretending to be Gareth Southgate and Gareth Southgate's assistant talking about dealing with Julian Nagelsmann's Germany. So I think it's starting to get to a stage where I'm losing it. That was, in fact, on the Statman Day football podcast. So if you want to check that out when I'm going crazy, you know, go and listen to it. It's brilliant.
Nice plug. Do you go and check out Statman Dave football podcast. Guys, it is the Q&A podcast. It's where we answer your cues. Does what it says on the tin every Thursday. But before we get to that, as always on the Q&A podcast, we've got to name the hole of the week. The prestigious honour, the man or woman who will be bestowed a box of beautiful Ferrero Rocher for their iTunes review. If you want to be in with a shout of being hole of the week, all you have to do, get on iTunes. The link is actually in the description of this very podcast. Rate and review the Front 3 because it helps us out. You know, we like that. And you will be potentially in a chance of winning this prestigious prize. There's actually three reviews this week we've got to talk about. Some interesting comments, I've got
to say. It's free to do a review.
It is free. It's free of charge. First up, we've got Arrow301. His review gives it 5 stars. Easily one of my favourite podcasts. Generally look forward to listening when it downloads to my iPod. Still got an iPod. I like that. Old school. Hosts are always knowledgeable and have great topics and definitely know their football. Would recommend to any football fan. But in particular, it is a must listen for EPL fans. Alright, thank you very much for your review. 5 stars. The next review. Controversial. The title is In the Manchester United to Everton Bracket. This is by Awesomeo from the UK. On the plus side, I really like the vast majority of this podcast. The tactical analysis is superb. There's a wide array of views, and the wannabe lad culture of other podcasts isn't shown here. Thank the Lord.
I hate the football ramble.
Where it lets itself down a bit is the bickering between some of the hosts. People argue, that's fine, but there are a whole 3 to 4 minute spells sometimes of point scoring, which is tedious to hear at best. Guys, sometimes it's best to agree to disagree. And no, if this gets read out, don't get all brave and start slating me, pal. Constructive criticism. Overall, this pod, in my opinion, is on the cusp of greatness. You need to iron out the squabbles and you'll go from perennial sixth places up to the Champion League spots straight away. Please feel free to contact me for my address details. I love Ferrero Rocher. Whew, deep breath. Interesting review from Awesome. I respect that. As he says, it's constructive criticism. He's put something out there. He's put a bit of thought behind his review. You know, And I respect that. That is the second review of Free, of course. Too much bickering. I'm not sure I agree necessarily, but I respect it all the same.
You always say that.
Last review. Continue talking about MLS, says Pocket Master 6 from the United States. Great podcast, very informative, but you cannot imagine the joy I feel when I hear the MLS. He said the MLS, but I'll forgive it. Being mentioned. Even better was that it was not belittled or mocked, but rather explained as if it were any other league, which is very rare in most podcasts outside the US. Please continue doing this, and maybe others will learn to speak like you do. Pocketmaster, 4 stars. Thank you very much for your review. For me...
4 stars?
All those kind words, you did give it 4 out of 5. I mean,
we spoke about the MLS, but then the problem was that we didn't speak about it well enough. So at least we respected it, but not good. Can I also add one? Someone who's been doing, as they call it, God's work.
Go on.
You are.
So over the past week, someone showed us a screenshot of a WhatsApp, and someone said, that team's got a great front three, and he just answers, great podcast.
Oh,
and the person is clearly very confused by this. But it works. And they screenshot it and sent it. So, Pippo, please, thank you very much for doing that.
Nice one, Pippo, please. For me, though, lads, I want to award the Ferrero Rocher to Awesomeo, who has a problem with the bickering for 3 to 4 minute spells. Very specific. But I like the constructive criticism. He's put some thought into that. Do you not think he's earned it, Dave?
So is it a 1 to 2 minutes, is that all right? But 3 to 4 is when it like stepped over the line.
I think that's what he's trying to say, mate. He's specifically singled out those minute, those time durations. So I think just rein it in a little bit and we'll be fine.
To be fair, it's probably actually features like this, which he hates on the podcast. So.
Is this bickering? Are we bickering right now? I'll make an executive decision then. He is getting the Ferrero Rocher. Please feel free to DM us on Twitter at the Front Free, and you will get yourself a nice, beautiful box of 6 Ferrero Rocher. We don't want to go too far. We don't want to push that.
Can you buy 6, not 12?
Yeah, it's got to be 6. I mean, it's like a little treat. You don't want to overindulge. You don't want it to be too much. 6 is the perfect amount of Ferrero Rocher. You can share it. You can have it to yourself. Either way, it's perfect, mate. You know what I'm saying?
Adam, would you eat 6 for... this is, again, the kind of thing the review hates.
Of course. I'm not a big fan of Ferrero Rocher myself, ironically enough. So I think, you know, 1 is the maximum. I'm like, yeah, it tastes all right, but it's not for me. Do you know what I mean? Not for me, Clive. Do you like Ferrero Rocher? Are you not a fan of Ferrero Rocher?
Thanks, Garth.
Lawrence?
I'm massively into Ferrero Rocher.
I'm more of a Lindt man myself. You know those little Lindt chocolates you get? Love it. Ferrero Rocher?
Oh, they are pretty decent.
They're pretty addictive. I mean, sometimes I'll eat a whole tray of Ferrero Rocher in one sitting.
Jesus.
Double layer.
Anyway, Awesomeo, you've earned yourself those beautiful 6 chocolates. Do DM us on Twitter at the Front Free. Let's get into the question, guys. So many interesting, fascinating questions to get into sent in on Twitter at the Front Free if you do want to get your questions in. First up, the main man, Luke Dorr at BlackShadow179. He says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did everyone miss Big Boltwood? Great question, Luke. Dave, what are you saying?
Oh, I gave it a 0, mate. 0 out of 10.
Are you actually serious, right?
Yeah. I did it on Twitter, mate. You can see it. There's evidence and everything.
Yeah, but if
I can't
you,
go back anymore.
If you let down your facade, you know, you're putting on a little bravado yeah, and you actually
a big boy.
You let the audience into your heart, deep into your heart, Dave, what would be
I'll
your
do
answer?
That, mate. I can't let the, you know, I'm already defending my position as a statistician in football, Adam. Any more room I give to the world, it'll put me into such a backward position, I'll never recover.
Dave, come on, mate. Don't be afraid to show your feelings.
I don't know what that means.
Nah, to be fair, I'm more afraid of the hair incident that will be at the end of the season, Boltwood. But it's great to have you back. Your voice, as always, is soothing as ever.
Mm. Lawrence, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you miss me?
10, mate, absolutely 10. I do enjoy hosting the podcast.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, it was 10 of missing you.
Thank you.
The main issue is, what we've done is, we've taken a review and you've said, thanks for the constructive criticism. We've taken the constructive criticism, torn it up, and then just gone off on lots of tangents.
Yeah, but he didn't have a problem with tangents. He never said the word, I have a problem with tangents. He said, bickering, specifically point scoring. Are we point scoring right now?
Nope.
I mean, we literally are, because I'm asking you to rank how much you missed me. Scale 1 to 10, but I mean...
No, at the same time, you also tried to just score a point because you were trying to make an opposite point to mine. 1-0 to you.
It's true. I mean, we've got to listen
to this. But then I made a point back, so...
Who wins? We'll never know. Luke
also asks, the right wing.
Personal highlight from the hashtag tour. Luke, great question once again. I think the personal highlight for me was going to see Atlanta United. Their second ever home game. fantastic experience. The atmosphere was incredible. I wasn't expecting it to be quite so... I wasn't expecting the crowd to be quite so passionate. Like I said, it was the second ever home game, yet there was 50,000 people there. It was Atlanta United versus Chicago Fire, who unfortunately, well, maybe fortunately, got a man sent off earlier on in the game, which opened it up. It ended up being 4-0. So it's very exciting, you know, it's great fun. So for me, that was a personal highlight. And that's what Atlanta's all about, you know, nothing else at all. Next question.
Do you go to any strip clubs?
That's getting cut. Next question is from Gushan at Gushan.
I hate lad banter.
Who do you think will be the next player to win the Ballon d'Or after Messi and Ronaldo? It's the eternal question.
Messi Jr.
I mean, there's got to be someone before that. You know, Messi's not going to be playing on into his 40s, into his 50s. Surely the answer's staring us in the face. It's obvious. It's Harry
Dele Alli.
Kane. Oh, right. Maybe if we were being serious and we took off the old Spurs hat, we'd say Neymar. We saw the performance against
PSG. Am I wearing a Spurs hat again?
I don't know. I am, personally. I always wear one. It's got to be Neymar, Lawrence. Balding. There's no questioning with that.
I mean, it would just be, if you think about it, every era, if you take Ronaldo and Messi out of it, there's probably so many people. We were talking today with another journalist about how many football players won it before those two as well. Pavel Nedved won it at one point. That it sort of shows the diversity within Europe. And people don't even seem to discuss Serie A anymore when it comes down to these sort of things. So, I think definitely him. I think there'd probably be a couple of Premier League stars. I imagine there'd probably be a shout for, at that point, maybe the likes of Gareth Bale, if they improve and become more prominent than Bruce, those sort of guys. There's lots of people who, and then by, of course, obviously by the time Ronaldo and Messi retire, Emre Can will be at the peak of his career at Bayern Munich. So that'd be great.
That's very true. Dave, is there anyone for you that rivals the likes of Neymar, the likes of Gareth Bale? Who's your pick to be the heir to the throne, if you will?
I think it's got to be Neymar at the moment, hasn't it? He's really showing that form. Carrying Barcelona in a creative sense this season in La Liga, he's created more chances than any other player in the current campaign in terms of assists in open play as well. He's joint top with Marcelo, so his impact for them in La Liga has been huge, and we know what he's done in the Champions League. He pretty much carried them through that game against PSG while scoring the penalty, scoring the free kick and that cracking assist for the winner. That was Neymar's Barcelona, not Messi's Barcelona. So it's an interesting transition of world football, but he needs to, obviously this goal scoring needs to go up for him to take the Ballon d'Or, but he's got everything else at the moment, creativity. The decision-making's massively improved for Neymar as well, which is important. And he's for Brazil as well, they're the first team to qualify for the World Cup apart from Russia. So obviously Neymar's carrying them as well. So he's doing a lot of hard work this season.
Great answer.
Maybe next... Coutinho?
Maybe.
Maybe
Barcelona?
Maybe, Dave. Maybe it's Adam Lallana.
Nah, he's injured now, man.
On Lionel Messi, the question comes in from Callum. He says, what do we make of Messi's red card fiasco? Is how he describes it. Lionel Messi, after the defeat to Chile, handed a four-match ban.
He apparently called... the referee's assistant. He said to the referee's assistant, your mother's shell. If you can kind of figure out what that translation is in terms of rude words, paint shell. Yourself a decent picture. But it's a little bit rude. And the four
game
ban.
Don't paint a picture of it, mate.
Yeah, this is true, Lawrence. It'd be a bit messy, wouldn't it?
Don't paint a messy picture of his mother's shell.
Now, he said he never directed it.
She a shell collector?
He said he never directed it at the referee. He said he directed it to the air. You know, that was his excuse. He was just sort of cursing, letting some steam off. But, you know, he's like letting some steam off. You do that sometimes. You say, oh, fucking hell, you know, you don't necessarily direct it to someone's face. Dave, you're not buying that. Dave, you're clearly not buying that.
No, I'm not buying it. Yeah. You see him, he looks over and he goes, and he screams at the lino, screaming at him.
Yes, there is that visual evidence. At the same time,
Dave, come on, guys. Have you ever been having a hard day and you just looked at him and just thought, your mother's shell. It really is just the most natural reaction to.
What's the closest we get to an English translation of that?
Are you ready to beep this?
I mean, I can beep it, mate. I can beep it.
Then it's probably going to be something along the lines of your mum.
It's your mother's.
Jesus.
I think it's Dave, you could just say vagina. But I mean,
the thing is,
Dave has to use lewd words to refer to women's body parts because he doesn't respect them.
Lawrence, no. That was the translation that I got from Google.
Wow.
More like sex man, Dave.
I'm just reading what Google's telling me, which is a little bit incorrect and wrong. But
Dave,
it's just
did Google tell you that word?
Yeah, that's what it said when I put it in.
All right, mate.
Rude.
The thing is, though, Dave, even if he did direct these insulting words at the referee, as he's accused of, as he's been found guilty of, 4-match ban, though? Really? 4 matches?
It's quite big. Maybe you've got to set a precedent for Lionel Messi. You know, we can't be doing this type of thing. And maybe a 1-game match ban wouldn't have been enough to put the point across. So, you know, there is the rules and there's regulations. And obviously, they found a way to ban him for 4 games, which is for the rules. So, for me, it's fine. But it leaves Argentina in a pretty precarious place. They're currently in 5th position in the... I think it's in where they've got to play a qualifier against the Oceania Asian... I think maybe one of those teams, maybe New Zealand will have to play Argentina in the playoff for the World Cup. But that's where they are at the moment with a few games. They've got to put in some performances without Lionel Messi.
This is the thing though, Dave. They're not going to qualify, are they? It's over.
Come on, man. Nah, it's fine. It's fine. It's a pretty bang average Argentina team without Aguero, without Messi. You know, you do see the quality does really drop with the central midfielders. I think one of the central midfielders that played... In the second, he's injured, isn't he? Injury prone. In the second game, was playing in Mexico. You know, put playing his trade in Mexico. Gone are the days of those players playing in sort of top European leagues. It's an interesting one. Argentina seemed to be in a really weird space in football, like half transitioning, half not transitioning, still on the back of Lionel Messi.
There's another question, Dave. I think this is for you. Owen says, thoughts on Mahmoud Dahoud's move to Borussia Dortmund?
Well, I did address this earlier, Adam, and to be honest, right, not... this
Just plug the podcast, mate. Plug the podcast.
It's not a slight at Liverpool. It's not a slight at Liverpool fans. Why the hell they haven't even considered making a move for Dahoud, I don't know. Whether, you know, they should have maybe... Jurgen Klopp should have come out and praised the fella or whatever. Then they should have...
Dave, they actually did. And I think the whole point is that he rejected them. Chose Dortmund, allegedly. So,
well... It's unfortunate for you, Lawrence, because he would have been perfect to unlocking a deep-packed midfield. A really good player on the ball, really good at sort of quick tempo passing, can get the tempo going in that final third, and would have been perfect for Liverpool. I don't think there's a more perfect central midfielder for Liverpool right now to solve their current problems.
Well, apparently Liverpool are going to go for Thiel. Is it Thielmans?
Yuri Thielmans. Thielmans.
Yeah, Thielmans.
It'd be a good signing, yeah. Apparently the whole world is looking at Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man United.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, Dahoud also just looks like such a badass. He looks like such a good... He looks like the kind of player that, you know... imagine Dahoud's hair and Emre Can's hair in the same team. Just...
consistent with a decent player.
Yeah, but I mean, don't talk about Dahoud like that, mate.
Well, since the start of last season, he's registered more assists in the Bundesliga than any player under 23. So he's got a decent record there. And Dortmund, just looking at what they've got in the next few years, is a little bit frightening in a way.
What's the attraction to Dortmund, do you think? I mean, apart from obviously working in Dortmund, they don't offer big wages, but they do offer development.
I think what they've done well is that they've started to slowly assemble these players. You know, you think of someone like Pasalak that's come through the academy, same with Pulisic. That's probably been a long-term plan. That's been a 3 to 4, 5 year, 6, 7, 8 year plan that they want to start bringing these players through. The likes of signing one and then building that momentum. You know, I think the signing of this summer, they did really well to sign the likes of Moore, Dembele and Guerrero to sort of start that generation. Do you know what I mean? So, if you've got a group of young players and you're a young player from another club, it's a lot more appetizing to say you can fit in with these guys and we'll win the Champions League together. You know, they're building this model for the future. And I think that's quite attractive, you know, against nothing against Liverpool again, but what young players have Liverpool got at the moment that Dahoud could go, okay, right, you're 21, I'm 21. We can really do big things here. You know, the likes of Coutinho, Mane are in that, you know, the age bracket above. All these players that Dortmund have bought are of similar age and of similar quality. Think of that midfield, Dahoud and Julian Weigl. That's insane. That is so much quality with the ball at their feet.
Dave,
you've got a guy that can
all,
do it in the final third. You've got a guy that can do it in front of his defence.
Do you at all think that players see it as. I mean, that's the interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, they're not going to be able to command those massive wages. And so at some point, they're going to have to face the same reality they faced with all the other players who got stripped away from the club. And it seems, I mean, maybe it's that they like the, you know, they like living in Germany, maybe. You know, maybe they like living, in Dortmund or area ahead of living in Merseyside or Manchester. But it's sort of hard to see that pitched. Maybe it's, I think there's got to be something that Dortmund's building, which is either that they say, look, we'll build you up to be a certain player and then we'll sell you on and, you know, we're a great club to
be there.
You'll end up at Munich or you'll end up in Madrid or, you know, you'll end up at Liverpool in the end. But come here first and we'll give you an education. Because it's very difficult to see why, you know, someone will be attracted to, say, Tuchel ahead of maybe, not Klopp. I mean, Klopp is a great coach, but, you know, a Chelsea or a Manchester United or anyone. Because let's face it, a lot of these players were not only Liverpool targets, they were targets for other teams too.
I think it's a good one, but it's a fantastic thing that Thomas Tuchel's building, and it will, you know, they will be competitive in the Bundesliga next season.
I'd love slightly to inconsistent. Pitch.
Yeah, it would be great, wouldn't it? I tell you what, sir, I'll buy you 3 cars, 2 magazines a week, and a box of Snacker Jacks. Sold.
Wow.
That's
Snacker Jacks
the worst Jimmy Savile impression I've ever heard.
Chris Henn is joining us from New York. Just Yay. Jumping in Woo. There. Chris, Woo. All right.
Back again.
Like the renegade master.
Right, true, Geordie. Chris, we've got some questions
awkward.
Coming in. I'm going to address the next one to you, mate. Sean yeah. Kirk says, why does the statue of Cristiano Ronaldo at Madeira Airport look more like Niall Quinn than the world's best player? It was quite something, wasn't it? It created quite a stir, didn't it, Chris?
It did. It looked nothing like him, to be frank. Which is awkward. I've seen some quote attributed to the sculptor.
Yes.
In which he basically says, everyone's a critic.
He says that Ronaldo approved of the statue and said,
really?
It's impossible to please the Greeks and Trojans, not even Jesus pleased everyone, which is fair enough, I guess.
Did he compare himself to Jesus? I'm very bold.
He's humble, mate. Can
we also just say at the same time, Jesus pleased some people. This statue literally pleases no one. All right, is, you know, Hitler pleased no one.
It probably pleases Messi fans, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm sure they got something out of it. No, apparently Ronaldo.
Do you think
saw the funny side though? Apparently he approved. There was a few minor alterations he wanted to make. Maybe should have made some major alterations. I'd suggest. But there it is, sitting at the new Cristiano Ronaldo Airport in Madeira.
What do you think of this? Well, there's. There's definitely a few minor
start again, mate. Yeah, he was trying to be polite. He thought maybe just start again. Niall start from
Quinn
scratch,
come to Madeira. Genuinely, I think Niall Quinn's probably really grateful because it's opened up an entire generation to him.
Exactly. No one knew who he was from a younger generation until yesterday.
So, in the generation of like 3D printing and stuff, though.
That's the thing. Just print it off.
We can map ahead to within a millimetre.
But it's not artistic, to be fair. Where's the artistic merit in that, Lawrence? You know, this is an artistic expression. Yes, it's got a few flaws, but it's, you know, it's
a
art.
Few.
It's got minor flaws, according to Cristiano Ronaldo. But, you know, it's art. Do you know what I mean?
Genuinely looks like he's had a stroke. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's fair enough. It's fair enough. Moving swiftly on, Gary Goals himself at Dayson 1996 says, who would you rather have at your club? Sané, Leroy
or the
Sané,
head of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Or the bust of Niall Quinn. No, Leroy Sané or Ousmane Dembele. It is a great question. I am going to say Ousmane Dembele. Lawrence, what are you saying?
I'll probably go Ousmane Dembele as well. I think Liverpool would really... Oh, I just think he'd fit in. He'd just slot right in.
Wow. Chris...
And Daniel Sturridge could then leave.
I am really happy with Matt Ritchie. Probably Dembele because he feels a bit more versatile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that's the key. I mean, they're both fantastic players. and it's much of a muchness to separate them. I think the thing that pushes Dembélé over the line, if you will, is that he has that positional versatility and ambidextrousness with his feet, so that really adds to it for me.
Dave O'Brien, what are you saying?
I think it's a clean sweep, Ousmane Dembélé, but I think the Leroy Sané showed some good form in the last few months, really fitting into Pep Guardiola's Manchester City. A little bit older as well than Ousmane Dembélé. I think Ousmane Dembélé has more talent. In the Bundesliga this season, he's played a key pass or registered assist on average every 32 minutes, which is a pretty incredible record. Really involved in the Bundesliga and Dortmund's attacking play. So yeah, Dembélé over Sané, but Sané's starting to play well.
That's why he's here, the stat man himself. Next question is from Ollie, at OllieShep97. Can Bastian Schweinsteiger help Chicago Fire win the World Cup, Chris? Is the question on everyone's lips. What happened? What happened yesterday? What was going on?
The Telegraph have done an interview with the journalist in question. I think it was perhaps a miscommunication. Clearly someone wasn't fluent in football, and I think maybe they confused the World Cup with the Club World Cup, which again would require Chicago to win the Champions League in North America. So
yeah, either way.
Either way, to be honest, it's tough because I feel like that moment is projected around the world as US soccer, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really talented journalists in this country, a lot of very good writers who...
He said, speaking in the third person.
A lot right now in America at this very moment.
But only right now, and a lot of them need green cards.
Specifically in New York.
But I'm Fifth talking Avenue. Domestically. Jokes on you, I'm at World Trade Center, show some respect. I think...
Can I just say, I do respect that, I just want to make that very clear.
What it boils down to is they also... I don't know if this was the same person, so I'm going to make that clear. He was also asked if he was going to use this move as a chance to run the national team, like have another go, and obviously had to kind of inform them that he'd retired. Look, it wasn't a great moment for US soccer. I think in a funny need for, be it newspapers, outlets, whatever, to have a soccer person on board. Because, yes, you know, this is a fundamental and basic mistake, and I don't contest that. I think that if you wasn't, that will actually get you clicks or whatever metric you're looking for, it would really help to have someone that knows the sport and can talk about it in an intelligent way. Or at least, you know, ask a question that's slightly probing towards him.
That is quite probing.
I haven't seen the press conference in full, so I don't know what else was asked.
It's interesting.
It's
the
a
point,
little bit of a weird one.
But it's interesting it's the point you raise, Chris, is it's unfortunate that, you know, people sort of see that as, oh, God, MLS, you know. Well, people ask why you don't take this league seriously because of questions like that. And it's like a blanket judgment based upon one uninformed journalist. And it seems like a harsh, sort of harsh judgment.
Well, definitely. But then, it also just seems a little bit unusual. I mean, it's sort of a funny
was it
moment.
A stunt,
there are probably,
you know?
No, I mean, why would it be a stunt? There are probably also a lot of people in a lot of press conferences who ask silly questions, and most of the time, it just isn't released because, you know, maybe they don't want to humiliate someone or all sorts of things. I think if you're in a press conference more often than not, which Kristen is more than any of us on the podcast, you'll probably realize a lot of stupid questions are asked in press conferences or questions where someone's misread something. The worrying thing is that if they did write the question and mean the Club World Cup, then the answer still would be no. Why would I want to win the Club World Cup?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Very true. Never has a truer word been said. Dave, this question is very specifically for you. Sandini at Santiago Maza. What a great name. Do you consider player ratings from stat websites such as Squawker and the website that shall not be named who scored to be a good metric of a player's overall performance?
Yes, because I built the metric.
Did you actually?
Yep.
If you took your narcissistic hat
nope.
off.
No, absolutely not. Cool. No, I think it was a good metric 3 years ago when we put it together, but I think the problem is that the development of that performance score, as it's called, there was no real time spent doing that. So unfortunately, it's kind of fallen behind where it was. It was massively revolutionary. We were using data in a massive level in football before a lot of, you know, front-facing companies were doing. Yeah, I imagine teams would have done the same thing potentially, but we were getting calls from clubs who were like, you know, using our website to compare players and so forth, using our score because it was so in depth. It broke down every single event on the football pitch that's taken, and it scored the events accordingly in terms of their frequency, in terms of their importance on a football pitch, in terms of area, in terms of position, how it, you know, success, fail, whether it was a curling shot and so forth. So it was one of the most, you know, it was so fresh, that metric, but unfortunately the time and the development wasn't spent to improve it to where we wanted it to go. You know, one of the good improvements we could have made was that, you know, to flash it out of a 10 score. We had some idea of how we wanted to do that, how we wanted to normalize the data and, you know, break the out of 10 rating down that, where you'd be getting the average 6 for certain performances, and obviously it improved certain ways. It didn't really favor a position, which was one of the big things that we were trying to push. We were trying to make it equally flat across from goalkeeper to a striker to a midfielder and so forth. So it was a really good score, but unfortunately not enough time developed on it. In terms of the who scored, I'd say it's massively weighted by how many actions a defender does or how many actions an attacker does, which unfortunately kills the metric. What they should potentially do is look at it in a way where they're scoring it based on the position of the event, not just on that. There needs to be more information than just that. It looks a little bit too heavy on that, if I were to tell you about it without looking into the you know, the building blocks that make it up together. But that's about that for Adam. You know, that's, you know, we can't give him any more
in-depth
information.
I like it.
Because it's secrets, Adam.
On the same topic, essentially, I feel a bit weird reading this out. Rayber Q says, what is Statman Daddy's favourite stat? I feel just wrong reading that. Just feels wrong.
Do you know, basically, you've just spoke, Stephen Howson has just spoken through you. He's done that.
That's even worse now, Jesus.
He's done that. He's inside of you right now, Adam. And he's causing trouble.
Please, no, just never say that ever again. what is your favourite stat?
I quite like chances created at the moment. Or shots on target. The basic stats.
Mate, like, there's got to be a better stat than that, come on.
I don't know. I quite like what they could do with distance covered, but all the distance covered data you get is all absolute rubbish.
What about expected goals?
Nah, not for me, mate. I think it's a decent model, but it's a model that's got limitations. I'd say my player for performance score was better if you were applying that to a gambling market than using expected goals for an application.
Ooh. Look at me. My model was better, eh? Jeez.
That's your fair,
trumpet somewhere, yeah?
Well, yeah, it's been apparently one of the guys, well, someone was using it from the website to bet and said it was rather successful. So, you know.
Insider trading tip there. Luke Dorr once again with a question. Send in some great questions. How does everyone, mainly you, Lawrence, see the Merseyside derby turning out? There's a lot of injury, he says. Injuries, basically. Lawrence, how are you feeling going into this one? A lot of injuries. Crucial game. Season-defining, if I wanted to, you know, apply some hyperbole. What you said?
Yeah, definitely, if you wanted to apply hyperbole. I mean, a lot of big injuries. Most notable being Seamus Coleman on Everton's side. In the last week, obviously, he had his leg broken, which is... We all saw that horrific tackle. But not only that, I think there's some players that maybe Everton were looking to build a little bit more around. You know, the likes of Schneiderlin, Yannick Bolasie, James McCarthy, etc. I mean, you could put Funes Mori and Besic in there, but yeah, sure. And then with Liverpool,
picked up an injury as well, Loz, on Argentina duty. what's he called, Funes Mori?
Yeah,
he's out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, so did I just say his name? Anyway, away in Argentina, jersey. Good point. But then for Liverpool, obviously, the big loss for them is Adam Lallana, who is out for maybe a month, maybe less, maybe more. I think a lot of people, Mourinho has expressed his frustration at international friendlies. Klopp sort of, in a very sort of passive or positive way, acknowledged that they have to go on and they have to fit in somehow and there's no point in complaining about it. So it is what it is. It's unusual. Let's all note the fact that Jurgen Klopp is once again glossing over an injury to a prominent player, just for future reference. Yes, there are a lot of injuries, but at the same time, I think both squads, both managers have made the best, or at least are showing that there are certain games where they can make the best tactically of some of these players, if not consistently, which is what makes this one such an exciting match, because both sets of managers have probably got the tools to take apart the other. Liverpool's back line in recent years has been very shaky when it comes up against a big striker. When I mean big, I mean someone who pushes and is more physical and is willing to drive at them and is skilled with their feet. So Lukaku fits into that perfectly. And I also think it is possible to expose Liverpool's flanks, even if they're two reasonably solid fullbacks. And then you can look at Everton the other way. I think Liverpool will probably get some joy against this side because they're not just going to go and sit back. And they also have the confidence of knowing that in the past they've taken this Everton team apart with very similar personnel. So it's a fascinating tie. And after the international break, it makes it even more unpredictable.
If you were to boil down those points and those eloquent musings into a
Liverpool
score
mate.
Prediction.
Oh, right, okay. I'm going to say 3-1 Liverpool in the end.
Ooh, okay. Tasty.
I reckon Lukaku's going to... I think Zlatan will get a goal in this one, mate. Sorry.
That would lift them up only to third before all the other teams play. But, yeah.
Sure. Top but even four then, is I mean, on. Even then... It's better to... A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, Adam.
I don't know what that means. I've never known what that means.
Well, it means if you've caught a bird, then it's better than knowing that there are two hiding in the undergrowth that you could catch. So right. It's better to have the points than not to have the points, but know that you could get the points.
Very well said. Here's a question from RCTI Dadbod. Wow, these names. Who is Larry's... Mabila? Who is Larry's Mabila? That's a great question. Does anyone know?
What?
He's just said, all caps, who is Larry's Mabila? Any ideas, anyone?
This is going to sound weird, but I can't see the spelling. I don't actually know what it is.
Mabiala, potentially. According to Wikipedia, he's a Congolese footballer who plays for Turkish Super League club Kayserispor. Has he become like a meme in the last while or something? Is he a meme now?
Do you think that we're getting trolled?
I don't know.
Is this some sort of meme? Is this some sort of Chinese meme?
I feel behind on the times. I'm not like one of the cool kids who knows like the football memes, you know?
Is this a meme?
Apparently Portland Timbers have signed him.
Ah, well, I wish Kristen was here.
Yeah, I wish he hadn't disconnected earlier. Moving swiftly on, we'll get to that when he comes back on, when he finally gets some signal.
Kristen, who's Larry's Mabila?
We're just like, really? He'll go into one and just disconnect halfway through. Here's a question. It's all about Romelu Lukaku. Sans HD, thank you very much for your question. Would Lukaku be willing to join Manchester United, seeing as Mourinho is there and he didn't have any faith in him at Chelsea, clearly? Dave? He's going to Chelsea.
I don't know. It depends. But, you know, there is murmurings that Mourinho either likes you or doesn't like you. And if he, not forced Lukaku on, but sold him as an asset, would he want to bring him back and would he want to work with him again? I don't know. You never know with Mourinho. I've never met Mourinho. I don't know what his mannerisms are like.
Hard
whether
say,
he would
guessing.
Take another player in. In terms of Lukaku, he'd fit into Manchester United in terms of what he is as a striker. There's a really interesting one that just sort of crept up on me in terms of stats. He's completed more dribbles than any other Everton player. I know that he does drop in the old step over before banging the ball home, but I didn't realise he constantly does step overs and constantly beats men, which is something that he's massively improved on this season.
Does shooting at the end of a dribble count as completing a dribble?
Well, it depends if you've beaten a man. If you dribble past an opponent and then you've shot, that'll be two events. If you dribble past two opponents and then shot, obviously three and so forth. So it does count, but you have to have completed that dribble, completed the with the ball past the opponent. But it's an interesting one. Lukaku, what he'd bring to United would be just another forward. But if Zlatan, there's been rumours today, or not rumours today, murmurings from Zlatan saying he doesn't want to leave a job unfinished at Manchester United. By job, potentially means a league title. Obviously, how many league titles he's won in his career? I think it was, you know,
he's rolling. League Cup, mate.
He's got the League Cup on his own, pretty much. But, you know, he's got that already.
Back to back.
The goals, what Lukaku would bring. Gary, goals to Manchester.
When he says finish the job, he means score 20 this season.
We'll see about that. There's what, 8 games left? He's going to have 8 games to play in.
And he's going to have 8 games to play.
And if he bags 5, this Barnett is going to be pretty shocking.
You're done, so bro.
I actually think it's going to look quite good, you know.
I think, I've made peace of it at this current time.
Wow.
You can only be disappointed by hope, do you know what I mean? So I've made peace with it in order to, you know, it's just going to happen now. It's fine. I don't want to get my hopes up, you know?
Well, you really are the Dalai Lama, aren't you?
In many ways. Next question from Oskari Kajava. Oskari Kajava.
I'm so good with these names.
Not sure what this one means either, but I like it a lot. Can you win the World Cup with your five-a-side team?
I think what he's trying to make fun of the journalists, isn't he?
Right, yes, it all makes sense now. Satire.
Excellent, yeah. Or satire, as you would call it.
But if we were to take it literally, because it could, you know, who knows? It's typed out. You can't type sarcasm. I can't detect it. Could you win the World Cup, the actual World Cup, with your five-a-side team, Lawrence?
If there was a five-a-side team that could win the World Cup, what would it look like?
Oh, well, you know, obviously Neymar's in it. Obviously Messi's in it. Is it? I mean, I say obviously, but now I'm starting to second guess myself. You need a bit of defence in there. You're 5 against 11. N'Golo Kante's in there. You know, 2 players. Think about it.
There's one man to finish off the 4 men of the outfielders.
Yeah. Oh, God.
What a time to bring that back. Cha-cha. Can we, like, reappropriate that song for a new player now who deserves it more than Mario Gomez? Because he's... Dave, he's fading into irrelevance. We need to reappropriate
it. I don't think you understand what you're saying right now, mate. I want you to, you know, just think about it. Think whether you're making the right decision.
Listen, Dave, I don't want to bicker with you for 3 or 4 minutes. I don't want to start point scoring, so I will.
It's already been 1 minute 30, Adam, that you've said that horrible thing about Mario Gomez.
Okay, Mario Gomez is in the team. It's in goal. Manuel Neuer. Listen, we're not going to win the World Cup with a five-side team with Mario Gomez in it. So, you know, what's the point?
Got a lot can finish.
You've sabotaged this team, mate.
Consistency, mate. Always score goals wherever he's been. Scoring goals, Wolfsburg now. Incredible.
How many goals you got this season then?
Multiple.
Very specific. That is our five-a-side team. Manuel Neuer, Messi, Neymar, Mario Gomez, and N'Golo Kante. An awful, awful selection. I'm sure you'll agree. Here's an interesting question from J. James Alwood. With the evolution of tactics, you know, that old chestnut, will we see old formations recycled to great success? Are they going to come back in fashion, Dave? You know, all now it's about the back three. You know, look at me, I'm playing three at the back. Maybe the old 4-4-2 is coming back next season. What do you say?
Be back, mate. The 4-4-2's back, the 3-4-3's back, and the 3-5-2 is still living the dream. But I think the 3-4-3 is a really interesting one, because the last time that was around 2001, when Bayern Munich won the Champions League. They played a 3-4-3 or a 5-4-1 formation. But I think it's an interesting one. I think football could go the way of the diamond, could come back in with real popularity. It's how it moved last time. But again, football is all about a fluid motion. Again, at the top level, 4-3-3 and a 4-2-3-1. You can't really look past that formation, you know, when you're playing Champions League semi-finals. So it's an interesting one. But I think the 3-4-3, I can't wait for Chelsea to be in the Champions League and to really have that formation tested out, because I don't think Dortmund's is as defensively well set out as Chelsea's is. So it's going to be a good one next season, I think.
Do you think he'll still be playing that formation next season?
Conte, yeah, definitely. I think that Mourinho will start playing that system. I think other managers in the Premier League will start adopting it, just because it's really good on the counter attack.
Is Mourinho going to do it? I feel like I know he's.
He's already started, mate.
I feel like
it's already coming, Adam. It's already coming.
His
mate.
Personal pride wouldn't let him copy Antonio Conte consistently, do you know what I mean?
I think that's good. It's not like I think the 3-4-3 situationally is quite good when you're in the right situation. If you've got a lead, it's a really good formation to put in. Because as teams obviously chase the game, they're going to throw another striker on. They're probably going to play a 4-4-2. A 3-4-3 is a great counter-attacking option for that formation. You think if the back seven players could probably deal with an attacking 4-4-2, and then you've got the two wide players and a striker to counter-attack, usually 3-on-3. So it's kind of like the old school 4-4-1-1 that Mourinho used to play for Inter Milan. This is just where football's gone. And this is what the system is that Mourinho will adopt to break on teams, I think. It's interesting. Whether I'm wrong, I don't know. But I think it's the right way to go. Conte showed that it's the right way to go. How he's winning the Premier League is because of that system. That is the only reason.
Fair play to him. Here's a great question from John Shin, the big man. At Mr. John Shin. Fellas! Exclamation mark. The Confederations Cup is fast approaching. Yes, it is. Thoughts on this tournament? Lawrence, should we be paying attention to the Confederations Cup? Should we be ignoring it?
There's a number of reasons why you could look at the Confederations Cup.
Name three.
Main reasons to look at it. Well, main reasons to look at it. Where it's going to be hosted, Russia. A country which is incredibly... politically divisive for a lot of people around the world, but it also a country where there are a huge number of the population who, on a day-to-day basis, probably deal with the political climate, but don't necessarily have direct contact with, you know, the politicians who are at the very centre of it. There's quite a few, is it three or four cities they're going to be testing it in here?
I think there's four. There's St. Petersburg, four? Moscow, Kazan, which is quite far away from each other.
There's the logistics. The whole point of the Confederations Cup is to logistically get a tournament up and running. So I think it's going to be partly about showing the PR side of Russia. And I think we should all be very cynical about that, in the way that we are cynical with other countries. I think a lot of people are very cynical with South Africa. They're very cynical with Brazil. They're less cynical with Germany, because Germany wasn't so politically divisive now. But I think, you know, maybe some people sort of saw some of the issues. In terms of the football itself, I don't think we're going to see the best iterations of these sides, should we say, but we're going to see some interesting teams. We're going to see Portugal, Germany, Russia, Cameroon, Mexico, Chile, Australia, and New Zealand. There's some really fascinating sides in there, not least the European champions and the world champions, alongside, you know, the likes of the Chileans, who are very exciting in the football they play, and the Mexicans, who I think are not the dark horses for the tournament, but certainly going to look to outplay some of the big boys. To not put too fine a political point on it, I think Russian people is probably a huge part of the population that I would get on with. I don't agree with all the politics and political grandstanding that Russia does on a global stage. I think it's divisive, I think it's dangerous. But at the same time, I'm sort of very much for a political discourse. So, football is a great way of doing that. And as much as maybe I'd agree with some of the politicians there, I still look forward to seeing what Russia has to offer as a country. And I think there is probably quite a lot. I'd be very aware, though. I mean, you know, I watched something on Copa 90. I like a lot of Copa 90's content. Not all of it, but I like a lot of it. I watched something a few weeks ago from Copa 90, which was very
It was modern day propaganda for a country. And it was worrying that the biggest channel on YouTube would so, with such a lack of editorial line, just sort of go down a route. People have probably accused us of the same thing on this podcast, maybe uncynically looking at things. But I'd be very cynical of the way that people try and portray. Okay, let's put it this way. Separate the people and the politics. You've probably got a great country.
I mean, to do a complete 180, let's talk about the best-looking Premier League 11, guys. Alex Sanchez sends this one in. I mean, you know, I like to... no, just Alex Sanchez. You know, I like to change up the tone, you know, change up the levels, you know, go from politics in Russia to the best-looking Premier League 11.
To gross sexism.
I'm very excited to hear what you have to say, Lawrence. We all know Olivier Giroud is leading the line. We know this. It's a given.
We're all metrosexual men here.
We're all very secure in our own sexuality. Oh, dear.
Oh, Jesus.
Olivier Giroud. Who's the best-looking goalkeeper? Who's the best lad in the Premier League?
I think best-looking goalkeeper must go to... There's two. Maybe there's more. I think Lloris.
Strong chin.
Yeah, or possibly Karius.
Yeah, let's give it Karius.
Karius is quite a good-looking lad, isn't he?
Emre Can, you can maybe chuck in there. He's got a decent Barnet, you know.
Let's put it this way.
It's got a really inconsistent Barnet.
That is ironic coming from you, Dave.
more point scoring.
No points needed to be scored there, mate. I was just saying truth. What about...
It's hard to name a whole 11.
Is it? No, come on, the back line. Dave, why don't you name a hot right back?
A hot right back.
Come on, Dave. Who's in your fantasy Premier League team? What about Fernando Llorente? Do you find him attractive?
Oh, no, actually, 100%. Fernando Llorente, top-looking bloke. He's something else. Those eyes. Get lost in those eyes.
Sure.
Mate, we're putting in 11 Fernando Llorentes. That's how it goes.
He's attractive, isn't he?
Final question, guys. Let's move on.
John Stones.
The username. It's a controversial username. You know, all views expressed their own. Fuck Trump forever is the username here. What is your favourite TV / Netflix series? It is a fascinating question. Dave O'Brien, what's your favourite TV series right now? What are you watching?
Oh, I don't know right now. I'm like stuck in between series. But if you haven't watched Narcos, that's bloody amazing on Netflix. That's a great watch.
Got a bit bored of it.
We got a bit bored of it, Lawrence.
You're bored. Sort of it lost its momentum.
Lawrence, have you got a favourite current TV / Netflix Netflix series?
Current? I don't think Westworld counts anymore, does it?
Come on, Lawrence, you said current.
You finished
that already? That was the last. Yeah, of course I finished it. It was the last one I really enjoyed. I don't really watch TV. Who watches TV?
That's the point. You just watch Netflix it, right? You don't watch the TV series. You just Netflix it or download it or whatever.
Sometimes I really enjoy watching the show, The True Geordie Podcast. It feels as long as a television show.
Oh, mate. Don't plug your own stuff on it, mate. No one else here does that. Do you know what I mean?
Come on, mate. Morgan Schneiderlin. You're not attracted to him? You're telling me you don't get a semi when you see Morgan Schneiderlin, Adam?
I'm going to say Catastrophe. Great sitcom. Very charming if you've seen that. Sharon Horgan, Rob Delaney. Stars a couple who sort of get together after a one-night stand. She gets pregnant. Very, very amusing. So,
Adam, I think you said that you enjoy watching Paul J. Watson's content on a regular basis, don't you?
I wouldn't say enjoy watching it, but I find it interesting to watch. You know,
it's compelling, isn't it?
I found after the election, you know, the sort of criticism that was levelled at a lot of people after both Brexit and, you know, the Donald Trump's successful campaign. People saying you're inside the bubble, mate. You're on Twitter. You're following people that. Of a similar mindset of you, a similar... Everyone said it. It was an... And I thought it was true, to be honest. I thought, you know, I only hang around with people like you, who have a similar sort of left-leaning mindset to me. You know, everyone I know and like, they're of the same sensibilities, do you know what I mean? So every now and then it's good to get challenged, it's good to hear different viewpoints, it's good to hear other opinions. And it just so happens that Paul Joseph Watson is a very prominent sort of alt-right, I think is the right terminology. I'm not sure he'd describe himself as that, maybe he would.
Definitely feels alternative.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with anything he says or the way he puts it across or anything about him, but at the moment I think, you know, with the way politics and the way culture is going, it's important to sort of expose yourself to these opposite points of view and try and sort of try and acknowledge them and try and understand why people feel this way. Now,
yeah, but mate, what's your favorite thing on TV?
I already said Catastrophe, mate, great show.
Sure.
So,
otherwise known as Paul J. Watson.
Do you not think that, Lawrence, though, it's important to sort of find conflicting opinions? I think the problem right now with politics is that it's so divisive and everyone's sort of shouting their opinions, everyone's shouting their corner, and they don't want to acknowledge the other side. Whereas if we're going to come to any sort of consensus, if we're going to, you know, build bridges and sort of go forward in any sort of constructive way, then someone needs to extend the olive branch and meet in the middle.
No, absolutely, mate. It's just...
You had dapper laughs on your podcast. You know what I'm talking about.
That's very harsh on dapper laughs. I see what you're saying. I just sort of think, I'm not sure... We really shouldn't get into this, otherwise we're just not going to have...
Basically, I just want to see Paul Joseph Watson on the True Geordie podcast. That's what I want to see.
Mate, I would also love to see that. So if anyone's out there and they are close
has a contact
to, if they're close to the mental asylum, it would be fantastic if you just let me know what his doctor's number is.
You could have quite a constructive opinion. You're obviously almost the complete opposite in terms of political opinion. I mean, it would visually, you look very similar, actually, to be fair. But
That's actually very insulting, but thanks.
Are you the same guy?
Listen, if you don't know who Paul Joseph Watson is, just forget everything.
Don't look it up. Yeah,
guys,
you're just wasting your time, mate.
That's
just go and look up
the
True Geordie podcast. Way more offensive
podcast. Thank you so much for listening. It's been a pleasure to be back on the front three. It's been a pleasure to be in your ears. Lawrence, it's been a pleasure to be back with you as well. Until Monday, when the weekend review will be back as always, where can the good people, where can the whole find you?
You can go over to Twitter. You can find me at StatmanDave, StatmanDave.
Lovely stuff. Dave O'Brien?
Lawrence, have you stolen my handle again?
Yeah, sorry, Dave. I've actually taken your
account. You can listen to me daily on the Statman Dave Football Podcast. It's always fun. Again, I mentioned the issue today that I had when I had an argument with myself. Statman Dave, Lawrence McKenna, Adam Boltwood, all great guys to follow. And, of course, Chris Hennage.
Unfortunately, lost his signal in New York City. It happens. It was a pleasure to have him on briefly as well. Do go and follow him on Twitter, at KHennage. Guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We will be seeing you on Monday. Until then, enjoy your weekend. And enjoy the football.